Wow.
That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. I appreciate that. I'm so glad we didn't stop after Oh Happy Day. I had met with them before, and I said, you know what we ought to do is we ought to just sing Oh Happy Day, have communion, and go home, you know. But I'm glad we didn't do that, because, wow, that was powerful. Thank you. And now I'm going to put you all on the spot. Years and years ago, before you were born, there was a TV show called Name That Tune. I'm putting you on the spot. You know, you can at least wait until I start playing before you laugh. I see how this goes. Oh, this is going to be Rich Don at the piano. All right. Here we go. Are you ready?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Well, the way I play it, it doesn't really matter, right? Okay. All right. I'm going to make it a little bit more difficult now, seeing how that was easy for you. Okay. Aha, see?
Happy birthday.
Yeah, it was happy birthday. We didn't even get to sing to her.
Oh.
Oh. All right, or, here we go. Are we ready for this one?
Mission impossible.
My work here is done. 3 points. Three songs. All right. So you remember Mission Impossible, the TV show, or the movies, all right? And it had that little catchy theme song and Mission Impossible, and it was like that. Or some of you, I'm not recommending this movie, but I'm using it as an illustration because I know you guys live on the far edges. The Blues Brothers. You ever see the movie The Blues Brothers? All right, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd. All right, it's church. This is confession time. Yes, I saw it. I didn't enjoy it, though. But I remember, all right, Jake just gets out of prison, remember? And he gets his brother Elwood, and they're getting the band together because they're on a mission from God to save the Catholic orphanage that they grew up in. And they're on a mission from God. And so what I want to let us know is whether we're in the choir or whether we're a convict, all of us are on a mission from God. That's what we are. We are all on a mission from God. But sometimes we get distracted into these shadow missions. I mean, sometimes, for example, we might think that our shadow mission would be that we think we're supposed to be rich. And we get distracted thinking we're supposed to be rich. Well, most of us aren't succeeding at that, are we? We're not succeeding at getting rich. We're not very good at that. But sometimes we get distracted so that we think that our family needs our money when what our family really wants from us is our time. It's about the relationship we're building. So many times we can get distracted into thinking that it's about us being popular or about us being powerful or about us being right. You know, like little Pez dispenser of wisdom. You know, and if only the world would listen to us, we have all the answers that we could just give to everyone if they would just, you know, listen to what we have to say. And we get distracted. We forget sometimes that God did not put us here to correct people. He put us here to connect to people. From our families to our relationships to our neighbors to our co-workers, we are called to connect. That's the mission. Go out into the world and connect the world with the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus does in this passage. He sends them out to connect to the world. That's why you should have been in Bible study. Norma Ann told us way more than what we ever wanted to know about the difference between the 70 and the 72. All right? She had done her research. From the tilt of the earth axis, okay, being 72 degrees and 1 degree, it moves, just, oh, you would have no idea. All right? All the different ways that these numbers, but mostly it's not just some random number that was thrown out there. It represented, if you've ever read Genesis chapter 10, those of you who did the 365 reading, you've already passed that part, okay? And you read through all those names. Remember after the flood? Okay, after the flood, and then you get all the family history. You get about Seth and Ham and all that, all these stinking names, and you're thinking, why am I ever going to have to know that? And about Nimrod being the mighty hunter, why am I going to need to know all of that? Because right now, see, right now, today, I'm testing you on this. All right? It represented what? It's called the Table of Nations. It represented all the country, all the planet, everyone. When Jesus sends out the 70 or 72, the 72, he is sending them out to the entire planet. Everyone is to hear the good news of God's grace. And the very first word in the Revised Standard Version, which is the one Jesus uses, I'm just letting that sink. I could be wrong on that. The very first word he tells them to say is peace. Peace. Isn't that wonderful? He's not empowering people to judge them or to condemn them or yell at them or do. He says the very first word, peace. Peace. Some of you know this. In Hebrew, shalom means so much more than peace. It has to do with wholeness. It has to do with justice. It has to do with hope. Jesus is sending us out into the world. That's our mission. Because anybody, Ray Charles, could see how badly the world is right now. All right, it doesn't take any great vision to see what's wrong with the world, or what's wrong in our country, or what's wrong in our communities, or what's wrong in our churches. But that's not what Jesus asked us to share. He's asking us to share peace, shalom, wholeness, justice. Bring to the world hope. The world is desperate for good news. People need to know that God is alive and that God is active and that the way things are is not the way things are always going to be. We are the advanced people for the kingdom of God. That's why he's sending us out. If you read it in the scripture, you saw all the places he was going to be visiting. We're the advanced group. We're the advanced team. We're going out there. And the thing that I would just, if Jesus had just consulted me. Seriously, because, you know, we can make just modifications. Don't have to change the plan. Haven't you ever wanted to modify God's plan just a little bit? All right, I just think that we could modify. Some of you went to sales, really? I send you forth as lamb amongst wolves. Who's going to sign up for that? I mean, we already feel like we're being fleeced. We already feel like we're being slaughtered. Lambs among wolves? No, I say, I'm going to send you forth as terminators. I'm going to send you forth as Jedi warriors. I'm going to send you forth as Hercules and Xena, the princess warrior. I'm going to send you forth as X-Men and Avengers. You see, now you got a crowd. You got people interested in hearing something like that. All right, they've got the power to be able to change things and make things right. But no, we're being sent forth as lambs, vulnerable. And then we remember, but Jesus was the Lamb of God. It's in our vulnerability that change happens. It's by our risking to be vulnerable that we're able to bring hope. That's what we do. Jesus goes on and he says, you're going to have rejection. Who needs more rejection? Haven't you had enough rejection? Just going through high school, there was enough rejection in my life. Really, how many times can a girl wash her hair? Can't go out with you because, I got to wash my hair that night. Really? You ask every night of the week. She's got the cleanest hair ever. I don't know. I never did get a date with her. It just, you just get rejected, 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 rejected. And Jesus says, you do my work, you're going to be rejected again. Part of what was being told in this passage is being reminded that it's not about us. Did you notice that Jesus didn't ask for any qualifications? He didn't ask for any resumes? These are not necessarily the smartest. They're not necessarily the brightest. They're not even necessarily the most faithful. They're the ones he sent. Because it isn't about the messengers. It's about the message. And the message is one of hope. The message is one of good news. The message is what is powerful. It's the message that's going to change people's lives, not us. The message of hope that we bring, that we do. And that's what you all do. I've been here for a while. It's not my first day on the job. And I have seen you all at work. Not just at your jobs. I've seen you in your ministry. You bring laughter to people. You bring hope to people. You bring jobs to people. Each and every one of you bring love and you bring care and you bring compassion. Each and every one of you, every single day of your life, you show forth integrity. You show forth purpose. You show forth determination. That the way things are is not the way things are always going to be. You're able to give people encouragement. You're able to share with people hope. You take time with a child, not just to show a child how to throw a baseball or how to do a dance move, but to make a connection with that child. You take time with a senior citizen, not because you can fix something, but because that person just needs someone to listen. You work with coworkers who never have time for each other, but you take the time to listen, to be there. You have a boss who's a terrible person, absolutely a scoundrel, absolutely ridiculously bad. You can't change them. So you go to God, and God changes your attitude, changes your heart. And a little bit of shalom starts breaking forth. There's no big transformation, no big miracles, but the kingdom begins to come in this spot over here in zip code 33411. And in this zip code 33463. And over here in 33405. And pretty soon, all these little zip codes, the kingdom of God is being advanced and being put forth. And it begins to make a difference to the entire world. All because people decide to do the right thing. Sometimes, even once they've made a bad start, they understand about changing direction. And they're able to do a good thing. Some of you might remember a movie called Schindler's List. No? Okay. Some people saw it. Anyways, it's about this guy named Oscar Schindler. All right? And this is way back in the 30s. And that he had joined, in the early 1930s, he joined the Nazi Party. He was a German. Had a big factory. And he joined the Nazi Party. If you've studied history, you understand that after World War I, Germany was absolutely devastated, wiped out. And Wilson had tried with the League of Nations, had failed with that, it didn't work. And the people were just absolutely crushed. And the Nazi Party grew out of the ashes of that as a way of trying to fight, to help people reclaim an identity. But it did so in a really nasty, terrible way. But Schindler, in the early 30s, joined with that party, thinking that that would be the only way that Germany could ever hope to be rebuilt. And then as the 30s progressed and as Hitler took power, he became aware of the bigotry and the hatred that was being spread. And he had 1,000 Jews working for him. And he understood that there was going to be this murderous plot to kill them all. And he could no longer support that kind of thinking, that kind of hatred, that kind of bigotry. And he, wealthy man, began to put out extremely, unbelievably expensive bribes to people to save these people. He began to work in all kinds of ways to save these people. God opened his heart for compassion and for caring. He's buried in Israel. In Israel, who never allow foreigners to come. He's buried there. And on his headstone, it reads, I'm trying to find it here, the unforgettable lifesaver. He started wrong. He is heart turned. Compassion and caring are to be extended to all people, and gave of himself tirelessly for that purpose, no matter what the risk was to him. He continued to be able to, he discovered his mission was to share God's compassion and God's caring for other people. Sometimes we put people on mission trips. You ever do that? You ever go on a mission trip when you were a young person? Ever do it as an adult? You work with Habitat for Humanity, you do other things. A lot of times you send them out. A lot of times you send out the youth group because they got no choice. It's a whole lot easier to get the youth group to do something than it is to get adults, you know, because adults always... But you get the youth group, they don't have any choice. Why am I going? Because I said so. Boom, off you're all. And you don't always go to fancy locations. You can't always go to Walt Disney World for a mission trip, all right? Sometimes you go to rugged places that you never knew existed. When I was in Kentucky, Appalachian region there, poor, the poverty there was absolutely, I could not believe it. Some of you have been to Immokalee. Way back in the day, did you ever went to Immokalee and you saw the migrant? You can't even call them camps. The horrible conditions in which people were living in. This was an Appalachian mission trip, and the kids had come back, and they got out of the van, and the van was one of those old style Ford, you know, 15 passenger, and it is caked in mud. It's just mud and dirt, and these kids are coming out of it looking even worse than the van. They haven't had a decent shower in a week. They haven't had a decent meal in a week. They haven't had a decent night's sleep in a week. And they come out and they are the raggediest, most haggard people you could see. Pretty much just stumbling out of the van and laying on the parking lot waiting for their parents to pick them up. And one of the church members went up to one of the older boys and said, "Well, looks like you're pretty tired." And the boy said, "This is the most tired I have ever been in my entire life. And it's the best tired I have ever felt." Did you hear what happens when they return from their mission trip? They are filled with joy. Joy. When we give ourselves to God's mission, not only are other people's lives transformed, our lives are transformed. We become filled with joy. All of a sudden, the possibilities we've been preaching become ingrained in our own life. And we find ourselves believing and hoping and knowing that God is still active and God is still working in the world. That's why the sermon title isn't Mission Impossible. The sermon title is Mission Possible. Because the mission is about Jesus. Now, I know in the movie it's a little tape and it says it outlines the mission and all of that. I get how that works out. Yes, yes, yes. And should you choose to accept it, you don't get that choice with Jesus. Jesus doesn't give you that option. Jesus isn't looking for any volunteers. You've already been called by God, empowered by God, gifted by God. You have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You don't volunteer. You are sent forth on a mission by God to share not judgment, not condemnation, but to share hope. And when you do that, all of a sudden you find yourself singing a different song. And that song goes, "I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart to stay and to share." Amen.